Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
If I was Barry Horowitz, I'd pat myself on the back, too. This is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host from the award-winning WrestlingPopCulture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you, Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat. Did I miss something with Barry Horowitz? Did he have reason to pat himself on the back recently?
He got an esteemed Twitter follower.
Oh, yes.
Pretty excited.
Well, they cannot be homeboys, but they can be friends. Well, it is WrestleMania week, and that means lots of wrestling going on everywhere. Of course, there will be lots going on in New York and New Jersey, but we've got our own stuff going on here in Georgia, which we'll talk plenty about tonight. But it sounds like Hardcore Hell, Anarchy Wrestling's annual event was a barn burner as usual, and I believe both of our guests last week held on to their titles, which must mean we're good luck.
Yes, we're like Jungle Carmel. That's what Jim Rome used to show you today. I guess we got it too. Yeah, from all reports, it was just an outstanding presentation on all fronts by that thing.
And I believe we've got Larry Goodman. Is that you, Larry?
It was an outstanding presentation on all fronts.
The man I wanted to hear from. Before we get into anything else, Larry Goodman.
Yes.
All you need to know about is this back body drop that ended up on DeLay's face. I need you to walk me through this.
Yeah, I mean, he did a full, he did a full rotation off a backdrop. And landed on his face. Jeremy Vane does a similar kind of bump. It's something to see. I don't know what got into Seth DeLay in that match. I mean, I never expected Seth DeLay and Seven to have that kind of match. When Seth DeLay went up and put Seven through a table and got like believable vulnerability in a guy twice his size, it was really an impressive match by both of them. I mean, really something to see. As was the War Games. As was Palmer and Michael Judas. That Michael Judas is a sadistic son of a bitch, let me tell you. The trash can lid shot that he hit on Jerry Palmer, it was sick. And Palmer said afterwards he legitimately didn't know which end was up for about 60 seconds after that. So, yeah, it was Anarchy did it up big. They really did. They did a really fine job all night long.
Larry, can you point to anything that made this feel so much bigger? So last year's Hardcore Hell was a fine show. I enjoyed the thing, but just in reading the reviews and hearing everybody talk about it, this thing seems so much bigger. Was it the fact that there was actually sort of a climax to the storyline, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think he had people there sensing that this was going to be, I mean, so was Palmer really going to get his company back? No, and if he doesn't, all hell's going to break loose, and that's exactly what happened. People, they gave people what they came to see at that show Saturday night. On a lesser degree, the thing with Todd Sexton and Brent Wiley was a great payoff, and the main event was the ultimate payoff. I mean, they paid it off 100%. So I think that really did have a lot to do with it. I think you put your finger on it there. And the other thing that was really interesting and kind of mind-blowing was the pop for Jeremy Vane. Everybody was talking about it after the show. A huge babyface pop for Jeremy Vane, which was also
How long has he been gone?
God, I think he came back and did one cameo appearance, but what, really? As a regular, what, a couple years now? I want to say.
Yeah, I thought it was at least a couple of years. I knew he hadn't been a regular in the time that I had been around the promotion, so I knew it had to been a while, but I kept, as you said, everybody was saying that the pop was huge. I didn't know he was that entrenched in there.
Yeah, and a fairly hated guy up until the time that he left. But man, it sure, you could see how pumped up he got up from that. Who wouldn't? You know, because he didn't know coming out what was going to happen, and they just the crowd just popped huge for him. So, and of course for Judas, that was the perfect spot for Judas to return to replace Iceberg in that cage. Everybody knew Palmer was in deep shit.
And to pull all that, you know, they started with a really heavy message to start the show, and to build that much of a show out of it, it really does seem impressive.
Yeah, yeah, and you had a strong undercard. But, you know, one of the other things about some of Anarchy's bigger shows that I'm thinking about in recent past is you didn't have that uniformly good card all the way through, and they really did. They had good undercard stories on this show. So, if it seems like I'm putting it over quite strongly, I am. It was they did a really fine job. The other thing of note, of course, is and this is. Well documented in Danny Only and his Facebook page. Jonathan chuckling. The heat between Anarchy and OSWA is pretty strong right now.
Well, I didn't even know they were running that show. Was it at the same time or earlier in the day?
No. Head to head.
And they sold tickets for $1 each?
$1 tickets running head to head. And by the way, if you would like to, Jerry Palmer is offering to. He would be glad to come on and discuss his conversation with Clint Deller the night that Clint came to the building to present the idea that OSWA was going to be running. He'd be glad to speak on that topic if you wish.
Sure. I mean, we got Clint's side of it a couple months ago when they first started doing those shows, and I'd be happy to talk to him about it.
Okay.
It's been a week for OSWA. they pop up on you're not getting booked, and that starts sort of a firestorm, and then it just keeps building.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they had their own, not nearly as big a crowd, but a pretty large crowd there. I guess it's hard not to with $1 a ticket, but I'm curious. I'd be curious to hear from an objective point of view how the show was.
Me too.
Anarchy Predator had to turn enough away that they just eased over there.
You know, I will tell you that an Anarchy fan, or a hardcore Anarchy fan, went to one of their shows and told me that he had a good time there, that he was entertained. And he said it was obviously quite a completely different presentation of pro wrestling than what Anarchy is doing, but he did have a good time at the show. He also said their best wrestler couldn't wrestle at Anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's sort of the sentiment. I don't doubt that they might have a really good environment and all that, but when you start to kind of examine the product a little bit, that's when you might see some. You might see these things that people are talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one other thing I just want to touch on, and then I'll move on, but I couldn't help but notice on RPW's TV this week that
I wonder if you're going to mention the thing that I noticed, but...
Well, what did you notice?
I noticed that for no apparent reason, about 10 minutes into the show, Akbar is suddenly being referred to by a different name.
Bingo! And they're saying the whole Arab thing was a rib.
Okay, well, that's a good way to handle it, except that Arab guy is in another promotion, too. So, I don't know. But, yeah, if it was all a work of some sort, even if it was after the fact, that's probably the best way to resolve that. But I'm assuming that because it was such a weird transition, do you think they're going to explain that or just kind of sweep it under the rug?
Well, I'm only about 20 minutes into the show, and it sounded like they were, what Nigel Jarrett was doing was saying, you know, just kind of making light of the fact of, okay, yeah, so now it's a rib. You're saying it's a rib on the fans and just sort of putting heat on the guy for ribbing the fans. But being 1 week Akbar and the next week he's Miguel Rivera. But I beg of you to let me participate next week when you have Murder One and Josh Wheeler on the show. I'd love to be able to talk with them about a few things. One of them being their run booking PWE, which is kind of a legendary promotion as things have worked out in Georgia.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out if we should have them on at the same time or have one call in early and one call in later. I'm thinking maybe the same time.
Well, to talk about PWE, it'd be interesting to have them both on there at least for a bit, if they're willing to do it, if they're up for it, to just to, I don't know, and maybe that's just sort of arcane to even bring up PWE, but they did some very interesting things at PWE during the time they were there. I'd be curious to hear what they have to say about it these many years later, about their time there.
Yeah, I would like to hear about that as well. So, of course, you're welcome to call in next Monday, Larry.
Cool.
And anyone else is also, because so far those are the only two people we have booked for the show, but I'm guessing we should get someone else to, I haven't looked ahead far enough to see what else is going on that following weekend. But so next week will be a Rampage heavy show for sure. Did you go to any other wrestling events over the weekend, Larry?
No, I was coming back from Florida. That was it for me. I was lucky to make it to that one.
Well, it sounds like you picked the right one.
For a change, yeah.
So, Pro Wrestling Resurrection show on Friday, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we have Zach Daniels on, it sounds like they had a good show, and I believe this Friday is their 7th anniversary. But they have a new heavyweight champion in Chris Damian, a new U.S. champion in Zach Daniels, and the Undead Luchadors were defeated in a non-title tag team match by Marco Polo and Brian Blaze, who took the belts even though they were not on the line. So, sounds like it was a pretty exciting night there.
Did you guys hear anything about them losing their building in Gainesville?
I have heard rumor, but I don't know if it's anything. I don't know anything other than there's a rumor of that.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
I'm sure Jen would divulge if I asked her, so I will ask her sometime this week.
The talk at the Anarchy show is that they would be back at the Armory. That they would not be in the Mega Mart anymore, that they would be going back to the Armory.
Where the Speed Memorial was?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that was a good venue, I thought.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the venue. I just think it may, if that's the case, there may be some differences in schedule and things that they may have to deal with. But, yeah, there's nothing wrong with the place as a whole.
Yeah. Well,
we have to have a stop and start.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, Peach State's had similar issues, and it seems like they've weathered.
That is absolutely true.
Well, Larry, were you going to stay on for a little bit, or do you just want to talk about Anarchy?
I think I may have to cut out, but I just wanted to touch base about when I heard you guys starting to talk about Hardcore Hell, I just had to chime in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to hear about that firsthand because I read the review from a hotel lobby waiting to get tattooed. I was like, shit, I've made a terrible mistake. I should have been home for this.
All right.
Well, you guys take care, and I'll talk with you next week.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Sure. Bye-bye.
So our first guest, we have two actually. They should be calling any minute now. One is the new PWR United States Champion, Zach Daniels, and the other is his tag team partner this Saturday at Peach State Wrestling Alliance, Wild Child Joey Kidman. They are challenging, I believe, for the Peach State tag team titles, challenging the exotic ones. So hopefully we'll hear from them in just a moment, but in the meantime, what else is there? Well, of course, later in the show, we've got Universal Independent Wrestling Champion Bull Buchanan, who is also wrestling this Saturday with Murder One taking on the So Fine Mafia in the main event there.
Backed up this weekend again.
Yeah, it looks
everybody's back.
And ECW is the same day again, and it'll be, I believe that'll be Supernatural's first title defense. Is that against the Jagged Edge?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a title defense. The poster says it's his first match as the champion, so I'm not for sure exactly what's going on there, but maybe it'll be just a bit of a coronation, as it were.
Well, let's see. We got one of our guests. Let's see if it is Zach Daniels or Joey Kidman. Who's this?
Zach Daniels.
Zach? How are you tonight?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. Hello? on your U.S. title victory up in PWR on Friday.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
How exactly did that go down? I'm guessing there was a little bit of cheating involved, maybe.
Well, it was me and Kevin Blue, as usual. It was a great match, a hard fault. But in the end, I just came out dominant, I guess you would say. But Kevin Blue's a great talent. He's one of the better talents of PWR. It was just an enjoyable match, I thought.
Yeah?
No stranger to having a championship there, so I assume that helped you a little bit. Something to draw back on.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And then this Friday is the 7th anniversary show. Do you know yet, or I'm guessing you'll be defending that title against someone?
It'll actually be myself versus Chris Damian. It's going to be title for title, U.S. title for heavyweight title. So, winner takes all.
Okay, so is that...
It's just been a match in the making, though. That match is... me and Chris, when I first came into the business 4 years ago, we tag-teamed for a long time as America's Finest. And it's just one of those things, tag-team that slowly broke apart and now is turned into one of those heated rivalries. So we're just now finally getting our hands on one another. And it's gonna be a heated battle even this Friday, because it's just, like I said, it's been a match in the making. So there's a lot of heat behind it, and it's gonna be interesting to see how everything turns out after this Friday.
If I remember right, you and Chris were kind of starting to get back together right before you stepped away for a little while. Was there something that happened that kind of led to this, or was it just you came back and you were hacked off and ready to fight?
That's pretty much it. You just said it right there. It was one of those things, just ready to go. That's the best way to put it, honestly. There's no other words to sum it up, really.
So you were beloved there for a long time as you were their world champion, and then you came back just angry. Was it just you were tired of the same old?
Yeah, pretty much. after a while, it kind of grows on you, and it's kind of like, you kind of step back and you look at things a little differently. And you always constantly got people, writing you, texting you, calling you, emailing you, whatever have you. And you just eventually get tired of it, and then you just something flips, and there you are. You're on a totally different side of the park, and you just go from there.
Now, how was it being, kind of paired up with Rick Michaels, with him with the belt that you had held so long?
And the Jagged Edge, for that matter.
As well.
Well, it was different. At first, I kind of looked at it like, what am I doing? For one, as anybody would, like, am I in the right spot? Am I doing the right thing, kind of thing? And then I just realized, it doesn't matter. I'm not in this anymore to please the fans. I'm in this for myself. I want to get back on top. And if it means siding with some of the best, then that's what it was going to take at that moment. And still is, for that matter. as far as PWR goes.
During your time away from PWR, were you wrestling anywhere else, or did you just take a break altogether?
I wrestled here and there. Of course, PCW was one of them. I learned a lot from just being in that locker room itself. But being away from PWR was, in a way, a stress relief to an extent, so I could actually sit back and look at myself and where I wanted to be as far as the PWR roster goes.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of changes since, you know, you kind of left and came back. What do you think about how things sit right now?
Yeah, changes is that's a big statement for PWR. It's been the past 6 months has been rather rough, especially with the passing of Jason Speed, which was a huge mentor as far as PWR is. But as far as PWR stands now, I don't know whether to, because they're still going through those changes. The changes have not stopped at all. And just as this coming up show is the anniversary show, and they're still getting ready for a possible move, possibly, but I'm not sure, to a better building. I'm not for sure on that. I haven't spoke with Jim Speed on all that, Jim Holbrook. But, of course, you know, PWR's, it was solid in Clayton for a while, and then it was pretty much a unanimous decision to move. And like I said, they're just still going through those changes. But as far as it stands right now, there's no solid outlook at the moment from my point of view.
Well, of course, you got another match this weekend with you and Joey Kidman, who were opponents at the last Peach State show, are challenging the Exotic Ones for the tag titles. I'm not sure where Joey is. He was supposed to call in as well. But how did this match come about? I know you were sort of filling in for AJ Steele in that last show.
Yes. That, as far as the Exotics go, they have a huge staple going on in Peach State right now. It's almost a one-sided affair really at the moment. But slowly Peach State's getting that upper hand. Shane Knowles, with him coming back at Battle Bowl to this past week. They lit up Joey's face. They burn it. We're going to get that revenge come this week. Last show, myself and Shane Knowles, we beat Simon Sermon and Tommy, and we became the new tag team champions, Peach State tag team champions. But that lowdown Wills, I tell you, always got some kind of trick up his sleeve, and he managed to be able to take those back from us somehow, some way. I don't even know how. It's still an upsetting talk right now. But as far as this coming up show, me and Joey, I've known Joey for a while through PCW and all that, and he's a great talent. He's solid talent. And when we get in the ring this Saturday with the Exotics, I just hope they're ready to go toe to toe, just as much as me and Joey are, to get the revenge for what they did to Joey at the last show.
Now, like I said, you know, you were kind of filling in for AJ Steele almost at the last minute, it would seem. Did you have any clue of what you were really walking into, that you'd be this much of a major part of the show when you got that first call?
No, not really. I didn't. There was a bit up in the air kind of stuff. Mostly I was going down for Peach State support. Because of, you know, the pull that the Exotics have going on down there right now. So I was just going down there mutually for the support and to be a body on the Peach State side of things.
Now, you talked about change in PWR, and, you know, Peach State kind of went through the same thing. They changed buildings a couple times, and, you know, when they were at their peak there in Carrollton, it was a very distinct atmosphere that those shows always had. Has that translated over, or are they kind of having to build back up new?
Oh, it's translated right over. there's been very, I can't even tell a change in the atmosphere. The atmosphere is still to the utmost high, very intense, and ready. You come through that curtain, you better get ready because the crowd is ready.
And they will hit you.
Oh, you're scared about somebody. You stick your face across the rail, get ready because one's coming. It doesn't matter whether it's a slap or a punch. Yeah, one or the other's coming, so you just better prepare yourself for it.
We'll get after you.
It's one of the things you get in between those guardrails as quick as you can. If it means running, you get there. Or you find the closest security guard and put him between you and whatever person is walking towards you.
Luckily now they've got guardrails. That's a step
up. Yes, exactly. That's a huge, huge, huge thing that they've added to Peach State. Because I remember when I first went to Peach State, there was no guardrail. So it's one of those things that you tip somebody off, you better either stay in the ring or run to the locker room. One of the two.
You've kind of done a little bit of all of it out there. You've been on their side and been against them, so you kind of
know. Oh, yes. I've been spit on a time or two while I was down there, too. So.
It's a rite of passage, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
Do you know which pairing of the exotic ones you'll be taking on? I know they're all involved in other matches, but that doesn't really mean much with those guys.
I do believe it's going to be, as it sits right now, it could change, but I do believe it's going to be Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much.
You've been in, as long as you've been tag team that I've seen you, you always seem to be in a war with Simon Sermon.
Oh, yes. Simon Sermon and myself, we go back as far as when I first came in. Simon was in Clayton, which was the TNT before it was the PWR. We've had some knockout battles in the ring, I'm telling you. And it every time we've come face-to-face, for the most part, it's been him just ticking off the fans to the extent of where, you know, I guess you'd say I stuck my nose in the business and kind of tried to, you know, be like, look, you know, you need to kind of straighten your act up, so to speak. But as far as Simon goes, it's been a crazy road with Simon.
Now, when they were being, I think it was the Blue Bloods up in Clayton for a long time, I've heard the stories about that time. Was it as crazy as the stories make it out to be?
Oh, man, it was wild. It was wild. Believe it or not, back when the doors first opened in Clayton was when I first stepped in. Back in April 2009, I do believe, 4 years ago, because this April made 4 years for me. I've been in the business. It was standing room only, and a lot of fans came to see Simon Sermon and Tommy. They were a tag team there as well, and it's just been. And they came. It was funny because they hated them so bad that they came back each week just hoping and, you know, living on the prayer of seeing Simon and Tommy getting their face kicked in. But that never seemed to occur. But it ticked off the fans more and more each week. So they would bring more people back each week with them just to see these guys hopefully get the crap kicked out of them. But it never happened. So eventually it was to standing room only. And I remember the first anniversary show, like it was yesterday, to where it was myself and Chris Damian versus Simon Sermon and Tommy. And if I recall correctly, there was a baked chicken involved.
I was just about to ask if you were involved with the infamous baked chicken incident.
Oh, definitely. There was a guy, he was in a wheelchair, and Simon and them seemed to just pick on him left and right, and it got underneath the guy's skin, and the guy went to the far as the extent of chasing Tommy and Simon out to their car with his wheelchair. And that was the show before the anniversary show. And Tommy and them came back at the anniversary show, and they had a baked chicken. And just so happened the guy wasn't even there. But they had a baked chicken, rolled it out in a stroller, put it in the ring, did a whole interview process with it, and proceeded to stomp the chicken in the middle of the ring. And it was very intense. The crowd was not happy at all. But needless to say, later in the night, that chicken had been rolled through the floor, walked on, what have you. God knows what else had been done to it. And I proceeded to take that chicken and shove it in Simon Sermon's mouth. But that battle was very heated.
Just tell you the damn least.
Oh, man. It was intense. I ain't gonna lie. I enjoyed it. It was a very, very fun battle. Needless to say,
you talked about how the atmosphere was so much different then. Did anything happen to where it kind of, you know, waned off a little bit, or was it just sort of the cycle? It was hot for a while and then it just wasn't. Was it
the
talent departure?
Yeah, the talent departure. You know, you had. I remember back when the doors first opened in Clayton. You had the young Danny Only. That was, I just met him, so I knew him as a young Danny Only. I didn't know much about Danny at the time. You had your Kareem. He was in up there. Let's see, who else? Skater Boy Chris King, you know, Simon, Tommy. There was several of the, you know, the hot talent that was everybody was looking for up there. And it just slowly every all those guys started getting, you know, the bookings and stuff, and it didn't fit into their schedule. So it was just that slow departure of everybody slowly fading out of Clayton. So
what kept you there so long?
It's just the home. Jason, he gave me my first start. You know, it's a long list, really, but it's just that opportunity thing that was given to me. And I feel, you know, that's my home, and I owe them that dedication of being there and seeing things through. I feel that that's what Jason would have wanted.
Mm-hmm. And he did have a loyalty among the younger guys like yourself. What was it about him that made everybody so loyal to him?
Oh, man, Jason, you could talk to him about almost anything, and he would listen. Now, whether he followed through with that or not, completely different story. But now he would listen to whatever you had to say, and he may not tell you whether it was a good or bad idea, but he's like, okay, I understand where you're going with that. And then, you know, of course, he would come out with his famous line, "This is what I was thinking." And he's rubbing his hands together, and you know, you can tell right then. You can just look at his eyes, and you can see, oh, God, what kind of crazy idea are you about to put me through? And then, needless to say, though, it was always a fun experience with him, whatever idea he came up with. And it always, for the most part, when it was put through the trial and actually doing it, it made sense, and the crowd loved it.
Zach,
go ahead, Jonathan.
I was just going to ask where else you might be wrestling. You got PWR, I'm guessing, every Friday, since you hold the title there now, and Peach State this Saturday. You got any other shows coming up?
PWR and Peach State are it at the moment. I took a brief slowdown as far as wrestling for a while. I had some, you know, I just had some personal stuff going on, so I felt the need to, okay, I've been going at this strong for about 3.5 years. Let's take a minute and breathe and see where I really want to go with this thing. And I finally, you know, got my grist back on everything, and I'm picking up you know, bookings here and there, looking into a few other places. But as far as where I'm working at, it's just PWR and Peach State.
Is there any place that you've got circled that you really want to get to?
At the moment, I'm just one of those young, hungry guys looking to climb the ladder. I got a dream just like most probably out there. You know, I'd love to be on the TNA stage. I'd love to be at the WWE stage. But being 4 years in, it's almost, you know, the light's grim. So it's one of those things. I take it, you know, day by day, step by step, making sure I'm doing my proper workouts, stuff like that, getting to where I need to be as far as physical, but as not as much as mental. You know, studying my video, learning every time I step in the ring. That is the utmost important to me. I never step into a ring with a closed mind of, I know everything. I step into a ring of, you know, what can I learn from this guy, kind of thing. Or, you know, if it's a, so to speak, a younger guy than me, which there's not as many with where I usually work at. I'm usually working, you know, places that have, you know, the older talent and stuff that really know what they're doing, because I enjoy learning from those guys because they've been through those trials and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I just love learning. It's a nonstop learning business to me.
Well, Zach, appreciate you calling. We got to get ready for our next guest who's been on hold for a few minutes. But congratulations again on winning that title, and good luck in obtaining yet another title this Saturday.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will be talking to UIW champion Bull Buchanan.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows, to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And we are now joined by our next guest. He's the current UIW champion and a former WWE Tag Team Champion, Bull Buchanan. How are you,
hey,
Bull?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Doing all right. So, got a big match yet again with your tag team partner, Murder One, an unlikely partner that you've had for a few months now. This Saturday in the main event of UIW, you're taking on the SoFine Mafia, who has been a plague to UIW for quite some time. So what do you expect in that match, especially after?
Oh, well, you know, I'm sure it'll be a fight, you know, for all their mouth and all their bragging and everything. You know, Epic and Brad are pretty tough guys. You know, they don't always come across that way, but they're both pretty tough. I've been in the ring with both of them quite a few times. And, you know, me and Murder, yeah, it's a very unlikely pair. I would never give you 5 cents to think I'd ever be teaming with him. But, you know, it's worked out so far. So, like I told him, you know, when we first decided to do this thing, you know, as long as we're hitting the same people, I guess we're okay. So, you know, so far we've still been hitting the same people. So, yeah, we're rolling right along. But, I'm sure it'll be a fight. That's, you know, that's the way most of mine end up anyway. Chain wrestling kind of went out the window for me. It usually takes down into a fight, and that's fine. That's, you know, that's how I like to do it. And I know Murder's the same way. So, it should be a good main event.
I'm sure a little welcome change to not have to have Murder One after you for once. Y'all went through some real battles out there. If I remember right, he even might have stabbed you in the stomach once.
Yeah.
Water under the bridge, I guess, huh?
Well, you know, I think he was just trying to get my attention. I'm sure he could have done a lot worse if he had wanted to. But, we really beat the snot out of each other quite a few times. And, it's a little different to be reaching out and tagging his hand and not tagging his head. I'm sure it's the same way with him. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I've known the guy for a long time, and, I mean, he's always, you know, he's a fighter. So, you know, he ain't a bad guy to have watching him back.
You've held on to that UIW title for a pretty long time. You had a brief interruption here recently, as Shane Marks held it for a while. But everybody who walks in there has got something to prove against Bull Buchanan. How do you keep ready for that?
You know, just I'm doing this a while, and like I said, I mean, it always winds up in a fight, no matter how it starts out. You know, I don't know a whole lot of wrestling holes, but I know how to throw a good punch. So it's worked out for a long time for me, and I guess, you know, I always go back to you go back to what you know. But there's a lot of competition in UIW. I've worked for them for a while now, and you know, they always bring in the best talent, some of the best talent around here. You know, there's been a lot of good talent through there, and you know, guys that I've really, whether I liked them or not, I've really enjoyed the competition. You know, guys like Crew Jones and Rob Adonis, you know, Murder One. You know, there's been a lot of talented guys come through there. And I'm proud that, you know, when you do have the belt, you know, you usually work in the main event, and you usually work in, you know, the best that the promotion can bring in against you. And, you know, that kind of keeps you on your toes, too.
Was that the first place you went when you got back home, or – what's kept you out there so long?
Well, you know, I left WWE in 2003 and went straight to Japan. And right off the bat, I wasn't doing a whole lot of independent bookings because I was staying pretty busy in Japan. But, you know, anybody that knows how the Japan tours work, you know, you go over for 4 to 6 weeks, and then you might be home for 4 to 6 weeks. And I, you know, kind of was shooting, you know, I'm leaving a lot of money on the table here. So I started getting my name back out around the indie scene, which, you know, which is where I started. And, you know, the guys at UIW, a lot of the guys that work in the promotion, Billy Knight, Frank Spell, you know, Billy Knight, I've known him since pretty much the day I got in business. So we got a long history, and but I got my name back out on the scene, doing a lot of stuff with GCW down in Phoenix City. Jerry Oates was doing the booking at the time, and you know, he understood my schedule and when I was home, he booked me. Scott East.
You're breaking up a little bit, Bull. You still there?
Are you still there? Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah.
Where were you before you got your chance to go to WWE? What were you doing that kind of got them to notice you?
Well, you know, being 6'6", you know, 209
That's
pounds,
a plus.
It didn't hurt, but I started right here where I'm at now. I had my first match in Heflin, Alabama. I wrestled at the West Georgia Flea Market, which is right outside of Carrollton, Georgia. I got on a TV show. It was at the time it was Superstars Wrestling, but it was Sammy Kent. It was North Georgia Wrestling. This was probably back in 92, 93. I got on there, which just had a tremendous amount of talent. That actually went on to other places. You know, Buff Bagwell went through there. Adam Bomb went through there. And New Jack and Mustafa, that's where the Gangsters pretty much started. Disco Inferno started there. I don't know if it started there, but we all came through there at some point. A lot of guys, probably more than I can remember right now. I'm sure once I get off the phone, you guys all remember two or three more guys came through there. But, you know, a lot of good talent came through there. And it was on the Superstars of Wrestling, Joe Pesino's block, which also had Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Well, Smoky Mountain Wrestling would come down once a year and do a show at Cobb County Civic Center. And I had the Georgia heavyweight belt at the time, so I wrestled Lee Thomas on the Cobb County show, which was actually a Smoky Mountain show. And New Jack was a friend of mine, and he was pulling really hard for me. And he had Cornette come out and watch my match, and Cornette liked me, brought me to Smoky Mountain for his bodyguard. I did that until Smoky Mountain closed, and Cornette told me, just keep working, kid, and I'll get you in WWE. And 6 months later, sure enough, I did one shot at ECW. Billy Black needed a tag team partner. They wanted Billy Black and Joel Deaton because of their Japan experience. And Joel was unavailable at the time, so Billy called me up, and we went and did a shot for Paul Heyman at ECW. And that went really well, and I think Cornette actually used that to kind of parlay his position. He had been politicking for me with Vince. You know, hey, I got this kid, you know, he's 6'6", he, you know, can jump around the ring. And once I did the shot with ECW, Cornette, from what he told me, cornered Vince and said, hey, you know, that kid I was telling you about, 6'6", you know, and he said, yeah. He said, yeah, he just went and did a shot for Paul Lee and ECW, and Vince said, well, sign him. So, yeah. So, but, you know, it was actually kind of I hate to admit it, but it was a little bit of a hard choice. And looking back on it, it might be one of the few, now I won't say regrets, but, you know, if you had a do-over, you might do it differently to see what happened. Because ECW at the time, you know, we're talking around 94, 95, I guess, ECW was the place to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for a lot of us guys, you know, ECW was, you know, it was cutting edge. It was all those things that you never thought you'd be able to do in pro wrestling, and they were doing them. It was cool, and it had the music. And so that's where everybody wanted to be. But I also saw opportunity to, you know, not tooting my own horn. And, you know, Paul E. liked me, and he thought he could do something with me. And I saw the opportunity to build a name for myself and then go to WWE as a already established star, as opposed to going to WWE as a nobody and you know, having Vince McMahon make you a star. Now, yeah, that's a double-edged sword, because a lot, you know, Vince McMahon likes to make stars. And a lot of times when you see stars already made, go to Vince, and sometimes you wonder, you know, is he really getting the push he deserves, or is it, maybe it's because it's not something that Vince created. But, you know, I really had to think about it, you know, because I saw an opportunity to make a name for myself. And but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Vince is a guaranteed check, and it's there every week. And, you know, I actually asked Paul Lee, you know, what do you think I ought to do? And Paul said, you know, take his money and run. So that's kind of what I did.
Sound advice.
You know, there was never any hard feelings with Paulie, and, you know, I guess it all worked out in the end. I had a pretty good run, you know. Made a lot of made some good money with Vince. You know, I was there almost 8 years. Even when I wasn't on TV, I was usually, you know, if I wasn't on TV, I was still getting paid. And, you know, I was usually working house shows or, you know, at that time, with Jim Cornette being in talent relations and Jim Ross being in talent relations, you know, if I wanted to do some, hey, you know, all I had to do was call Cornette or JR up and say, hey, look, you know, can I work while I'm off the road, you know, to get better? And the answer was always, yeah, of course. You know, and, you know, give them a lot of credit because, you know, still sitting at home for 6 months not doing anything, they let me get out there and keep working. And, you know, I worked for a lot of guys. I worked for Burt Prentice, Music City Wrestling, which was almost a precursor to TNA. Bill Behrens and Burt had a TV show up in Nashville, Tennessee called Music City Wrestling. Almost TNA kind of grew out of that. I guess it's kind of a stretch saying that, but I guess you could look at it that way.
Now, you don't see that nearly as much out of WWE anymore, where the guys are allowed to go work other places to kind of hone their craft. Did that change while you were there?
When I
first went there, there really wasn't a developmental program.
I think me and Dwayne Johnson signed on the same day, and they sent me and The Rock and Bart Sawyer, Steve Stewart, they sent us all down to Memphis to work for Lawler until they could, you know, find a place to fit us in, you know, figure out what they wanted to do with us. And I guess that was kind of the beginning of the developmental program, I guess. It kind of grew out of that. But, it was a different atmosphere back then. You know, the developmental system wasn't what it is today. You know, they didn't have a place with three rings and trainers and that kind of thing. You know, if you got to WWE, you kind of knew what you were doing, you know, before you got there. They expected you to be able to hit the ground running. And, you know, it was more of a, okay, work down here until, you know, we come up with a character or, you know, a situation to put you in, you know, that kind of thing. As opposed to now where, you know, they're taking guys right off the street, training them, and, you know, it was just different. But, yeah, I mean, I saw it change while I was there. You know, it went to OVW, the original OVW. It was Danny Davis and Jim Cornette, which I thought was great. You know, it was a
When I first started wrestling, there were still territories, there were still places you could go and actually make a living. I mean, there's, you know, I guess you could say going out to Texas and doing shows, you know, I guess you could call it a territory, but there were actually working territories, you know, Smoky Mountain, Memphis, Texas. You know, there were still places you could go and work loop, you know, go around, work 5, 6, 7 days a week and draw a check. An actual and that was, you know, saw that fading away. We all did. But Cornette tried, you know, everybody knows Cornette, you know, he's old school, God bless him for it. He did his best to instill in those guys who didn't have the advantage, which I think is a tremendous advantage, of actually working the territory. He tried to instill in them, you know, what it meant to actually have to put people in seats to make your living.
You mentioned Paul Heyman and The Rock, and everybody knows your past with John Cena. So given that WrestleMania is coming up, obviously, and all those guys are prominently featured, as well as other people that you probably came up with, how does it feel, you know, seeing those guys that you were working alongside and where they are these days?
Oh, I'm proud for them. I knew John, you know, looking at Rock and John Cena, two totally different guys, two totally different characters, two totally different personas. But the first day, you know, and once again, I ain't tooting my horn. I mean, you know, even the blind squirrel. Say I met both of them, he knew that they were going to be stars. I mean, first I met Dwayne Johnson at Titan Towers when we were both signing our contracts. And this guy's, you know, 6'5", you know, 290, with, you know, yeah, he's going to do pretty good here. And same with Cena. You know, the first time I saw Cena was out in, I think it was L.A. He did, you know, for Bassman. Back then, the world was a little smaller than it could be. We went overseas occasionally, but we didn't tour the way that they do now. And it was because business is so hot in the United States, there was no point. I mean, you know, when you're selling out everywhere here in the States, you know, why fly overseas?
Right.
But, you know, start thing. You know, we would work the shows with the East Coast. We would fly.
Uh-oh. Now you're bringing off full again.
Yeah. You steer the elbow? Full?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
There you are. He's in his bunker.
You there?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm talking on a tin can and a string here. So horrible. But yeah, we would only go out to the West Coast maybe once every 6 months. But, you know, he come out and worked the art match. And to be honest with you, you know, he was a little rough, but he looked like $1 million. You know, he was bigger than what he is now. But he was a little rough. Next time we go out there, he's a little better. Next time we go out there, he's a little better. Next time we go out there, he's not there at all. Well, what happened to that kid, the prototype? Oh, they signed him. He's in OVW. You know, and it was just a steady progression. He just kept getting better and better and better.
The power that be cut Bull off.
Yeah.
This is a story that's not to be shared over the air.
Vince was listening, I guess.
That was the end of that.
Well, I think we've officially lost Bull Buchanan.
There he is.
Guys.
Oh.
Hey, I'm back.
Well, I don't know what all you said that we didn't hear, but we actually are running out of time, so.
Okay.
We appreciate you calling. I am curious.
Problem, man.
It looks like it seems like you mostly only work UIW, at least in Georgia. Do you have any other shows coming up, or are there other promotions you work for on a regular basis?
Whoever gives me a call, I've streamlined looking myself as I used to, but I don't know. I still enjoy doing it. I'm actually, I've started in another career that's something I've always wanted to do. And now that, wrestling slowed down a little bit, I work for the Carroll County Sheriff's Department. I had a criminal justice degree coming out of college, so it's something I always wanted to do. So I'm getting into that now. I still take some bookings here and there. I've worked for Peach State a few times, UIW, of course.
How much would you say you learned from the big boss man that's carried over into your new career?
quite a bit. It's funny because he started out as a cop and turned into a wrestler, and then I started out as a wrestler and turned into a cop. So, but we just went at it kind of backwards. But I do know how to twirl a baton anyway.
You got that going for you.
Yeah.
All right, boy. Well, thanks for calling, and good luck on Saturday. When will we see you actually defend the UIW title? Do you know yet? You still there?
A secret that will live on.
All right. We've worn out our time. Okay.
Then all we
officially drop. But guess who we do have now? Wild Child Billy Kidman. Sorry, April Fool's joke.
I decided to call him. I'm sorry for being so late. I got lost track of the time. I'm over in Alabama, so it's a different time schedule. So I just called it like 6:51. I was like, shit, it's time.
Well, it wouldn't be April Fool's without Joey Kidman.
It wouldn't be April Fool's Day without Joey Kidman. Screw yourself. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Okay. It was uncensored.
Did Zach Daniels call in?
He did, and we're actually wrapping up the show because over here in Georgia it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, over there in Georgia it's 8 o'clock, and I called in at the wrong time. That shows you what kind of jackass I am. But I hope your interview with Zach was really good. What did he touch on? What did y'all talk about?
It's all an hour ago, so... We talked about
it over an hour ago. You've already forgotten about it.
No, but it's documented in archives.
It's already been documented. It's in the archives.
See, I said your face got burnt. We did hear that part.
Yeah, and I hope it healed up because,
It actually healed up pretty nice. It took a little bit of my hair away, so I'm kind of bitter about that. But it'll be all right. I'll get my revenge come April 6th.
All right. Well, we will try to have you on sometime after that to find out how it goes.
Yeah. I was able to call in. I was able to get my 5 minutes worth in. I will say this, though. You're proud of me. My 2-2-2 dilemma is finally down. So all the people who bashed my 2-2-2, the Ace Haven's best friend, Danny Only, who else? Hey, Taven's best friend, Danny Only. Who else? Like, oh, yeah, you, yourself, and Matt Sexcells, the man who married a promoter to get a push.
Yeah. So you learned the difference between 2-2-2-2?
Yes. T-O is where you're going. T-O-O is also.
Right. T-W-O is the number 2.
So eventually, instead of being Joey Kidman, I will now change myself to Joseph Kidman because I'll be going to college.
All right, well. Well, good luck with college.
Good luck with college indeed. And wrestling is just going to keep getting better and better. And hopefully, as wrestling gets better and better, my keeping track of the Eastern time will also get better.
Yeah.
So,
I think Danny Only would be proud of you tonight.
Danny Only would be very proud of me tonight for calling in at the hour that I called in. Danny Only would be like, yeah, you call in when you want to call in, I think. So in a way, I honored him. I think I should have dropped more F-bombs or S bombs and stuff like that, the Danielli style. And then break it down to some, just break it down for the Chris Nelm.
Tweet pictures of titties and you'll be okay.
If I didn't call in the last 10 minutes, Chris Nelms was gonna bash me all over the internet and say, I don't know what I'm talking about. Because obviously, if you bash Chris Nelms, you don't know what you're talking about. Wink, wink.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Kidman.
See, I was still able to cause chaos in the last 10 minutes.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks
but
for calling.
If you're around in the area, you need to come out PWA April 6th, guys. Mr. Matt Hankins, that means you, boss. Jonathan Williams, that means you too. Yeah, dude, I want you to come on out. If you do, I'll wear a Wrestling with Pop Culture T-shirt during my entrance.
Well, that would be an honor.
Yeah, if you can make an eye patch out of that to cover up my scar, that'd be great too. So please come on out April 6th, bros.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, and we will have a more in-depth conversation with you at some point in the future.
Be there. April 6th, PWA. Thank you again for having me.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. And now we're out of time. So next week, I wanted to talk about so many other things. Did you happen to see, Matt, who the next gut check contestant
is
going to be?
Yes, I did see that.
Adam Pearce, who has
gut check.
Wrestled many times.
Held the NWA title.
Yes. And
for
Magno
a long time.
Was at the first Sacred Ground.
It's a Sacred Ground 1 reunion.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. But I guess we can get into that a little more next week when we will talk to Murder One, Josh Wheeler, and Larry Goodman, and probably some other people. So on that note, did we leave anything out? Is there anything we need to mention?
I think we're good. I think we hit all the high notes.
There are lots of shows this weekend. Classic PWA, Pro Wrestling.
Classic Pro, PCW, UIW, PWR, Pro South. Is Rampage running? I don't know. Just go to wrestling. It's
no, Rampage is the following Sunday, which is why we... Right. Anyway, go to GWHnews.com for all those dates and for Larry Goodman's reports and other Brian Slack's reports. So we'll be back next Monday at 7. Thanks for listening.
Listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.